Blog Talk Radio.
Redeemer to us all. We thank you, first and foremost, for giving us the breath of life and this chance to come before you. Father, we ask that you forgive us for our sins and our iniquities, Father, that we commit daily, knowingly, and unknowingly. Father, we give you praise, glory, and honor to your name and your son, Yahushua, for setting apart this time for us, Father. Our time, Father. Time for just us. Father, for the blessing of life, the blessing of family, we ask that you continue to hedge us up, protect us, fight for us, mighty one of Israel, and give us strength to endure the trials and tribulations of each day. Chastise us when we go to the right and to the left. And just continue to be the loving and kind Father that you always have been, Father, even when we misunderstand you. Allow us to open our minds and our mouths to you, Father. Let us reveal our problems to you, and let us search your word for answers. In Yahushua's name, I ask all these things, giving you praise, glory, and honor. Hallelujah. Amen. And welcome to Bible 101, your brother Deuel. Shabbat Shalom, family. Shabbat Shalom, sons and daughters of Yisrael. When we started over, and pardon me for the background noise, I'm on a route. But when we started over, one of the things that we were talking about is getting a firm foundation, a firm understanding of everything, basic beliefs and all that. Because we don't want to be able to be too easily swayed to the right or to the left. We don't want to sway either way, to the right or to the left. But when you don't have a firm foundation, it's a lot easier to sway people. Today we're going to talk about who is Yisrael, what is Yisrael, and what is the purpose of Yisrael. So, first of all, the first thing that came to me is purpose. Now, in this capacity right here, my purpose is to give to you the words which Yahweh inspired, and I can't stress that enough because that's something that he proved to me, that he inspires the words that comes out of the brother's mouth, my mouth, and it's not us. It's just like that pastor said. The times of, let's go to it. Second Peter, chapter 1:19-20. It reads, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that ye heed, as unto a light that shineth in the dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy, and that's why, and he's explaining why, it's of no private interpretation. The prophecy, verse 21, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of Yah spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. In other words, and we talked about that word spirit, inspiration, influence. Yahweh puts his influence on you, and you speak the things that he says speak. And he proved that to me, you know, because this week, it was a good week. I had a very good week, but my mind was everywhere. My mind was divided. It was going here, there, about, and everywhere, and all these different things were going on that I couldn't concentrate on the Most High and what he wanted from me and what he needed from me. So, a text went out, and my brother asked me, well, what are we going to be talking about? What are you going to talk about for your lesson? And when I read it, he sent it out like 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock that morning. I looked at it, and I'm going, wow. What am I going to talk about for my lesson? I've been going here, there, and everywhere, and I haven't talked about anything yet, and I haven't and what happened was I didn't give time for the Most High. I didn't do it. By the time I texted him back, it was like 10:30. And after listening to his show, that's when he gave it to me. Bam! We're going to talk about what Israel is. I already knew we was going to talk about who Israel is and what they are and what is their purpose. So that's when he gave it to me, because he showed me something a while ago. And listening to his show, that's what you need to talk about. Okay, no problem. So I woke up this morning, and here comes that adversary, right back at it again, trying to divide my mind. No, I got to work on Yahweh lesson. No, I got to work on Yahweh lesson. No, I got to work on Yahweh lesson. See, my mind wasn't divided this morning, so I could accomplish the things that the Most High needed me to accomplish. So I said that to say this. What he was showing me is that sometimes, not sometimes, we have to put forth a stronger effort. See, because what's happening in this world is all these distractions are going on. And, you know, he studied with Elijah. Yahweh is in that small voice. He's not in the wind and the hurricane and all these loud things that's taking your mind away, because he really wants those who are going to concentrate on him to hear a small voice when all these things are going on. That takes concentration. That takes your focus being right on him. That's what has to happen with us. That's what has to happen with us all the time. That we see, because take Abraham. With Abraham, he told him to do something. Abraham did it. Then he made Abraham a promise. And he had to wait 25 years for that promise to come through. Same thing with us. When we're younger in the faith, things will happen. And then it'll be real loud. Yahweh will be like real loud to us. But as we grow with him, the voice gets a little smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller, because it's just like with your child. When you want your child to do something, if they're doing something dangerous, you're going to make a real loud noise to get their attention. Like with Darius, when he was younger, when he was a baby, he used to always try to go after the arm and touch the arm. I would say, "No, Darius, hi," and he would bring his hand back. See, but then he realized what he was doing became a game to him. So he would go towards the arm, and he would do like this and be looking at me. I'd say, "Stop, hi," and he would smile. Well, one day I was asleep, and Danielle was in the bathroom getting the stuff ready for work, and the arm was on the table, hot. And all I heard was a, he touched that arm, and he found out what hot was. So now, after that, I didn't have to scream hot. I could just associate anything with hot, and he didn't want nothing to do with hot, because he understood his hand swollen, his whole hand swollen up, because he put his hand like this on the arm, and his whole hand swollen up, and I had to get ice and aloe vera and all that stuff to soothe his pain. But he understood what hot was after that, and he didn't want nothing to do with it. And that's fine. That's what Yahweh wants from us. Situations arise. Things happen. We have to go through the situation to understand if we want something to do with it or not. So that's the purpose of Yisrael. That's what he showed me today. And first of all, I don't expect y'all to be quiet today, because we're talking about y'all and me. When we say, "Who is Yisrael?" and everybody in here claims Yisrael, it's time to talk about yourself. It's time to talk about your purpose. So getting back to purpose, my purpose right now is to give you the words that the Most High inspired and put on me. Your purpose is to understand them. If you don't understand them, your purpose is to open your mouth so we can get some clarity in here, because we want a firm and stable foundation. That's the whole purpose of it, is to get our foundations firm, like planting a tree. If you plant that tree in the ground, plant that seed in the ground wrong, and then it starts to come up. If you don't take something to straighten that tree up when this is very young, it'll grow this way, it'll grow that way, it'll do this, that, and another. But sometimes you see two sticks beside it and they have some mesh around it. It's to guide the tree so it won't rock and be knocked over and uprooted before it becomes strong enough to stand on its own, because you have the wind blowing, you have rats, and in our case, rats, squirrels, and all that stuff climbing on it that'll knock it over. You might have a dog that might dig it up or something like that. So that's what we need, a strong foundation. All right? Now, who is Yisrael? Who is it? Who is it? What is it? What is Yisrael to you? And I want some answers. Please, please. People of the Creator. Anybody else? People that Yahweh has chosen to give his word to, give out the nation. Yahweh's representative in this earth. Anybody else? Sons and daughters of Jacob or Jacob. Anybody else? Go ahead. The voice of Yah on the earth. The only people that ever heard the Most High's voice. Servants of the Most High. Anybody else? He that rules as mighty one. Anybody else? All that's correct. And we're going to go through it. And we're going to start off with number one. First mention of the name Yisrael. That's in Genesis chapter 32, verse 28. And it reads, and he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince, thou hast power with Elohim and with men, and has prevailed. So this is the first mention of Israel. And we find out Israel is a man. He was one dude. That's it. That's the beginning of Israel. Now, as this man took his wife, he had sons and daughters. So now, we have the sons and daughters of Israel, still being Israel. Oops, excuse me. So let's look at some of the things that he says about Israel. In Exodus chapter 4, verse 22. Now, this is after the expansion of Israel. Jacob had the 12 sons, and their sons had sons, and the families became what's known as the sons of Israel, or the sons and daughters, because there was women there too. All these people are now Israel. This is the name that they're bearing. First thing, one of the things that he says about him, verse 20, Exodus chapter 4, verse 22. He says, and thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith Yahweh, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. So these are the first people that Yahweh claimed in the earth. That's what he means by his firstborn. Right, the same way he claimed Yaakov, all his kids get that same blessing. They were the first people claimed within the earth as his people. And then where did he call him his people? In Exodus chapter 7, verse 4, he says, but Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that I may lay my hand upon Egypt and bring forth my armies, my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgments. So not only are you his people, not only are you his sons, not only are you his daughters, you're his army. So what's the purpose of an army? It's not war. So he has warriors within this earth. Not only are we his voices, not only are we his representatives, not only are we his ambassadors, his servants, but we're his military too. Amen. That's what we are within this earth. And he set us here for that reason. Amen. That's one of the first things he says about his people, is that they are his warriors. So we're here to fight something. Right? Now we can jump to I don't know, I didn't write it down, but we know the verse, we don't fight against in blood spirit, but we fight against spirits. Ephesians what? Ephesians 6 chapter. Mm-hmm. 6:12. Ephesians 6:12. See? That's what family does. Help one another. Ephesians 6:12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So that's one war fund. But he said armies. So if it's armies, there's more than one war going on. Because he made battalions. He calls us bands. He's Yahweh of hosts. He has one army, but his army is composed of armies. Amen. You know, just like our body. One body composed of many members. Amen. You know, you got two fists. You can hit two people at one time. Amen. Or one person twice. So... you know. So, another thing. We are his firstborn. So, all right. In the book of Numbers, chapter 3, verse 13. This reads, because... Numbers 3:13, he says, because all the firstborn are mine, for on the day that I smote all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, I hallowed unto me all the firstborn in Israel, both man and beast, mine shall they be, I am Yahweh. So not only are we all the things that we listed before, we're hallowed, we're holy, we're set apart. You know, that's another aspect of Israel that we don't want to forget. We're not like everybody else. We can't be. It's impossible for you to be Israel and like everybody else. It can't happen. All right. Oops, wrong button. All right. So, all right. So us being all that, right, and we're in this world. One of the things that Israel's purpose, us being in this world, us being holy, us being an army, us being all the things that was listed, a servant, and he says a servant of servants. Why? What is the point of us actually being here on this earth and having to live the life that we live? What's the point of us giving him these laws, these statutes, these judgments, when he already said, because we are a firstborn, we already hold it. I hallowed you the day that Israel, that I smote everything in Egypt, I made you holy on that day. But I gave you these laws, these statutes, these judgments a little while later to make you a holy people, but you was already holy. So what's the point? What is the point of us? And he, like the word said, let's go to Romans chapter 3. Amen. Starting at verse 1. Romans 3:1. He says, what advantage then? Hold up. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? Is everybody following along? I need everybody to answer. Because like I said, too much crap went on last year where people were just saying stuff that they, one, don't understand, two, don't believe, three, can't substantiate. So we don't want to be them. We don't even want to start down that road. We can't be parrots. He gave us this word for us to understand. He says, in all thy getting, get understanding. You know? So, if, like I said, y'all job is to open y'all mouths. I can't read minds yet. I'm working on it. I really am. Because Mashiach could read minds. He said that when they wanted to kill him, he knew. Why do you think in your heart that you ain't speaking? You're thinking these things. So we on that road to a point where we're going to be able to read minds. We're going to be able to... really?
Come on.
You're going to come and be with that, really? Father, how I counteract that? Really? Oh, I was going to take them this way. No, no. Okay, we'll do it your way. That's how it's going to be. You know? We're not going to have to... We're going to know stuff. We're going to know things the way the Messiah knew them. If we continue, we're going to see people how the Messiah saw them. If we continue, it's not going to be when the people come around us. If we continue, it's not going to be, oh, my leg hurting. You want your leg to feel better? You really believe that? There you go. I want to get to that point. I don't want to see nobody in pain. I don't want to see nobody hurting. I'm tired of all this. A man takes a bucket, does this with it, and all these fish come out of it. And he doing it for gimmicks and games. Why can't we do this with a bucket and feed folk for real? Why not? What's the point? Mashiach fed 5,000 people with like 7 loaves of bread and 3 fish or something like that. 5 and 2? Thank you. That's why we got family.
Amen.
You know? That's what he did. Why is it that we can't do it? For what? Go ahead. On the course. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what you, I'm speaking for me. That's where I want to be. I can't speak for everybody. Maybe others want these other gifts because healing ain't the only gift, you know? And we all don't have to be healers. That's what Paul said. Do everybody heal? Do everybody speak in tongues? Do everybody? If he had a whole congregation of healers and no other gifts, that would be an issue. But what he say, I want to fully furnish my people. So you don't have to have, if I'm healing and this man speaking in tongues and he's educated and this one doing it, he fully furnished this camp.
Amen.
It lacks nothing. That's perfection, because that's what the word means. Perfection, to lack nothing.
Amen.
It's all there. Yes, sir. That's right. Right. Yes, sir. Go right ahead. Corinthians chapter 4 verse 9. And y'all didn't answer my question. What's your purpose, Israel? Bring deliverance people out of the darkness. Feed the sheep. We call them sheeple. Be an example of righteousness. Yes, sir. And ma'am. To be on display. Light on the hill. So hope being there is salvation. But I'm glad you said that. When I say hope and how it's defined in the Greek, it's an expectation. What to expect. Ema and then Eliezer. Show Yah to the world. To enter into a righteous kingdom that the Torah shows forth. Anybody else? To teach. Anybody else? All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 9. It reads that Yah has sent forth us, the apostles, last, as it were appointed to death, for we are made a spectacle unto the world and to the angels and to men. So we are supposed to show forth something because we're a spectacle. What is a spectacle? Something on display. It's something Yahweh is displaying his people onto, not just the people on this earth. He said to angels too. To angels too, which ties into the name of Yisrael. It's not just to men we got to prove some stuff to. But it's to some other folks, some angelic beings, we got to prove ourselves to. We got to show. We got to show forth some stuff. Amen. See, that's why, because we're going to go back and we're going to read that whole story of how he got his name and what that name means and what that name shows forth. And I'm glad Mr. Hebrew teacher here today because he can help us out. Amen. All right. One more. Isaiah chapter 45, verse 17. It says, Israel shall be saved in Yahweh with an everlasting salvation. He shall not be ashamed, nor confounded world without end. So we are a saved or salvaged people also. That's what we're going to show forth in this world. Amen. How to be saved. That's why the Most High put us here. That's what the world is supposed to learn from us. That's what the angels are actually inquiring about. It's a trap. It's a verse. I don't remember what it is. I don't remember where it is. But it talks about the angels wanting to know what salvation is. Amen. Matter of fact, let's find it. Hebrews. doubt. Let's see. No, that ain't it. So like I said, that's the one thing we want to do. Peter 1:12. See, this is what we want to be able to do. When we, 1 Peter 1:12, when we speak a thing, it's like how Rabbi Gershom Ben Daniel said, don't take my word for it, search it out. That's what we want to be able to do. Where did he get that idea from? Study to show thyself approved, workmen that need not be ashamed, rightfully dividing the word of truth. That's the whole idea. For you, when you hear something, you get into that word and you find it. You search these things out, just like they read in the book of Acts. Paul brought forth that word. This, I can't remember which church it was, but they searched the scriptures to see whether it was true or not. They went into it to see if the things that Paul said was right. Because you have to. We have to go behind people. We have to say, sister, brother, mother, cousin, whatever. If they say, yeah, I said it, let's go find it. All right? 1 Peter 1:12. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us did they manifest the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. So the gospel is what the angels are desiring to look into. They're desiring to understand what redemption is, what salvation is. They want to know. They're like, wow, what is this thing we heard of called salvation that man has, but we don't? A really good movie that brought that out was Constantine with Keanu Reeves. Because one of the things that Gabriel said to Constantine, he was holding him by the throat, showing how much mightier he was than him. He was holding him by the throat. She said to him, you man, you can do whatever you want in this world. You can totally ignore God. And all you have to do is say, I'm sorry, and he forgives you. What creature can boast on that outside of you, man? And that's a profound thing because nobody can. Not even the angelic beings can do that. Nobody can. Nobody can say, I'm sorry. There were a man on the cross right beside Yahushua who said, I want to see your kingdom. This man didn't do nothing. He don't deserve the stuff he got. You're going to see the kingdom today. He did wrong his whole life. His last 30 seconds, I messed up. And salvation was given to him. We can boast in that. No man can, no creature can boast in that. Yes, ma'am. The tree wasn't doing his job. Guess what? You're cursed. And it withered up the next day. They're not like us. When he made man, he made something completely different. And then when he made Israel, he made something even more completely different. Even more completely different. Because Israel, Jacob was not your average. Being Israel, you are not the average. You are not like everybody else when you lay claim to this name. You're not like everybody else. You can't be. Go ahead, Ema.
Why? Because of Adam. Because of Adam. He didn't curse Adam. He said, the ground is cursed for your sake. That's what he said. Why?
Come on.
What did he say that for? Why? And then go a little bit further, when somebody else was trying to put a curse on Israel, what did he say? You can't curse what Yahweh blessed. You can't do it. He tried. He didn't. Believe me, he tried. But every time he tried to curse them, a blessing came forth. Every time they worked Israel in slavery, the Egyptians did. And what happened? They multiplied and multiplied and multiplied to the point where they said, look, we got to deal with these dudes some other kind of way because they're getting too strong for us. That's what he said. Abraham was down in Egypt by himself. And the king of Egypt said, look, you done messed up. You're more mightier than this whole country. Get out. You, your wife, Hagar, your wife back. Take your flocks, take your herd. Get out, and we're going to pay you some more. That's what he said. He's not, you're not the average being. Yes, sir. And then Ema.
That being said, now explain the curse that is currently upon you.
By Yahweh. By Yahweh.
Really?
Because he says, you disobeyed. So that's where we're going to get in that. Remember, he just brought that thought up.
Okay,
we're going to break because that's part of Yisrael too, and it's right there in the name. All this stuff is located right there in the name.
Amen.
Who did I just say? Ema. Mm-hmm. That's right. And what do you say? Well, look, I ain't touching. You know I ain't touching. He said, I know, and you better not either, but give him his wife back because he is a prophet. So give him his wife back, and everything's good. Yes, sir.
Abimelech.
He shut up their bowels. The second time down. Yeah. Tola. That's why we have him. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. That's right. So, all that being said, we're not your average. When you take on this name and you bear this name, you're unlike everybody else. You can't be like everybody else. So, let's look at, do everybody understand? Does everybody understand so far? Everybody answer? Nope. There you go. Hallelujah. That works.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. All right. Now, any questions or comments? Or are we going to look at this account in Genesis chapter 32? This whole thing. All right. Genesis 32:1. Am I moving too fast? If I'm moving too fast, let me know. Slow down, David Well. All right. Genesis 32:1. It reads, and Jacob went on his way, and the angels of Elohim met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, this is Elohim's host. And he called the name of that place Mahanim. Off the breaks, Jacob understands who angelic beings are.
Amen.
Everybody can't do that. Verse 3, and Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau his brother, unto the land of Seir, the country of Edom. And he commanded them, saying, thus shall ye speak unto my master Esau. Thy servant Jacob saith thus, I have sojourned with Laban and stayed there unto now, and I have oxen and donkeys
and men servants and women servants, and I have sent to tell my master that I may find grace in thy sight. And the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, we came to thy brother Esau, and also he cometh to meet thee, and 400 men with him. And Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. So, one thing that we find out, Jacob was afraid of Esau. Do anybody remember why Jacob was afraid of Esau? Why was Jacob afraid of Esau? Because of the birthright? What else? Blessing receive us? What else? Esau was going to kill that man. That's why. Normally, when people are going to kill you, you're scared of them. He said, I'm going to, just saying, I'm going to kill you. Really? That was the whole point of him going down there with his uncle Laban in the first place. His mama sent him away to save his life. So go down here with your uncle, and, you know, your twin brother won't kill you. Remember, I said that your twin brother won't kill you. Right? So he says, then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people that was with him, and the flocks and herds, and the camels into two bands, and said, if Esau come to the one company and smite it, then the other company which is left shall escape. And Jacob said, O Elohim of my father, and Elohim of my father Abraham, and Elohim of my father Isaac, Yahweh, which saith unto me, return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother with the children. So he said he passed over the Jordan, and he became two bands. In other words, he split. This one army became two, or this one company became two. But he's afraid of Esau. And he says, verse 12, and thou saidest, I will surely do thee good, and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. And he lodged there the same night, and took of that which came to his hand a present for Esau his brother, 200 she-goats and 20 he-goats, 200 ewes and 20 rams, 30 milk camels with their coats, 40 kines and 10 bulls, 20 she-donkeys and 10 foals. And he delivered them into the hand of his servant, drove by themselves, and said unto the servants, pass over before me, and put a space betwixt drove, or between drove and drove. And he commanded the foremost, saying, when Esau my brother meeteth thee, and ask thee, saying, whose art thou, and whither thou go, and whose are these before thee? So he divided up this donkeys and all this stuff, and he gave it to a servant. He said, okay, servant number one, go forward. And what you're going to do is you're going to go a little while, then the next one's going to come, and he's going to put some space in between them. So it seems like stuff is constantly coming, you know, because this is a present for Esau. So I'm going to make it seem like I'm constantly giving them stuff, you know. And when Esau people say, whose is this, and where you going, and who these belong to, he's going to say, verse 18, then thou shalt say, they be thy servant Jacob's. It is a present sent unto my master Esau, and behold, he also is behind us. And so commanded he the second and the third and all that follow the drove, saying, on this manner shall ye speak unto Esau when ye find him. And say ye moreover, behold, thy servant Esau is behind us.
that our servant Jacob is behind us. For he said, I will appease him with the present that goeth before me, and afterward I will see his face. Peradventure he will accept of me. Perhaps he will accept of me. So went the present over before him, and himself lodged that night the company. And he rose up that night and took his two wives, two women servants, and his 11 sons, and passed over the ford Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over that he had. And Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. So we see another aspect of Jacob. He might have been afraid of Esau, but he wasn't afraid of nobody else, because this dude rolled up on him and he fought this dude. This man rolled up on him and he's fighting him. But he was afraid of Esau. He was afraid of the name of Esau. He heard Esau was coming. He just got shook, right? So he says, Jacob was left alone, and he wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. So the man that he was wrestling with him knocked his thigh out of the joint. Well, when I was looking at it, it's from what I'm gathering, because when you look at it, it talks about the sinew, the little, it's muscle. It's a little like your, what's the name, a hamstring. It's like his hamstring popped. But he's still fighting this dude. While your hamstring popped. So your hamstring is the ligament that runs down the back of your leg, which allows your leg to bend like this. You know, a lot of people who run a lot get sore hamstrings because they're moving. So a lot of athletes get it, especially when they don't have enough water in their system. It cramps up and all this stuff. You can't do, you can't move your hamstring. But it's talking about thong, you know, the thong of a, when you look up the word, it talks about the thong of a sandal. You know, and the thong of the sandal is that little part that fits in between your toes, you know. But we know something happened with his leg, but even though all this is going with his leg, he's still fighting. Yeah. And that's a characteristic of it. He's not going to let this guy go. Even though this man then demonstrated so much strength where he can touch you and break something and knock something out of joint, that's how much power this man has. And when you look up the word is ish, the same Hebrew word for man. So it describes him as a man. All right? So, verse 26. Go back. verse 26. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. How is it that he knows this man can bless him? What did Jacob see in this dude that he could bless him? Because you don't see that with every man. Jacob didn't say that with every man. He didn't even say that to Laban. And he was living with Laban. But this dude that he was wrestling with, he said, I ain't letting you go until you bless me. With his raggedy leg, still wrestling. He's wrestling and fighting for a blessing, right? So this right here is what we concentrate on, these next two verses. He says, and he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with Elohim and with men, and have prevailed. So we got the blessing. His name was a blessing, Israel. Right?
All right, how we spell it? We're going to do it in the, I think I can use it like this.
Matter of fact, Hebrew man, can you help me out? Please. Israel. All
right.
Yisrael.
Now,
it says,
as a prince, the first thing that he talks about this name is that we are princes. We are royalty when you take on this name. How can we prove that with those five letters? Why is it that? Ruler. There you go. That's a good one. Go ahead. I know you know. That's why I don't let them know. Okay. Anybody else? How can we prove that? Go ahead, Zach. Well, where's the word prince inside the word Yisrael? Right there. That word means prince. It's located in his name. So when you say, when he says, he gives you this blessing, he's literally telling us something. So he says, as a prince, thou hast power. Where is power at? That word also means power. Right? Then he says, with men and has prevailed. Right? So, huh? What did he say? Yeesh. It's all in there. But how did he prevail? Let's keep on reading some stuff, right? He says, and Jacob asked him, verse 29, and Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, why are you asking me my name? Why are you, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen El Elohim face to face, and my life is preserved. As he passed over, and the sun came up, as he passed over Penuel, two different words, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not after the sinew, which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank. So, that's where we get this name from. Now, he says that we saw the L, we saw power, we saw man. Now, he says that we're going to prevail. We're going to prevail with angels and all this, that, and another. So, did anybody listen to Yahweh L teaching like that? What was he teaching? The fruits of the Spirit, right? Okay. And what else, what particularly was he teaching? Gentleness. And the opposite of justice. Now, he was talking about a specific person, Tyree, which ended up being Apostle Paul, right? So, one thing that Apostle Paul is described as is the father of lies, right? So, let's look at this for a second. Okay. Thing we're going to see is in Genesis chapter 18, verse 23. All right. So Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Question by Abraham, right? 24. Peradventure, there'll be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein, that be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked that be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And Yahweh said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. And we know the story. It keeps on. I think Abraham gets them down to 10. Point being, the righteous don't get slayed with the wicked, right? So they get saved, the righteous do. It's a passage, a specific one I'm looking for. And we sing it. Psalms 37:25. It says, I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. So the righteous don't get forsaken. Right? That was Psalms chapter 37, verse 25. Sorry about that. So, one more. I think we read this one too. Psalms 145:17. He says this, Yahweh is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. So, we see the righteous don't get forsaken. The righteous is going to be saved, and they're not going to be slayed with the wicked. And Yahweh is righteous in all his ways and all his works. So, who did he give his ways to? You can say it. Yisrael. Because we started this off. What advantage has the Jew? Or, at that time, it was just Jews and Benjamin and Levites. But all his ways was given to Yisrael. He said, Yisrael, my firstborn. Of all the nations, I've known Yisrael. That's what he said. So, this word right here. Huh? Yishar? Rashar? Yod, Shin, Resh. Yod, Shin, Resh. Anybody knows what that word means? Or knows what this word is? Ishar, where we get the word Yasha from. So when he says Yisrael, upright power, or the power to do right, that's what Jacob was blessed with. And that's what he gave to us to be a spectacle for the world. That's how we save the world. We literally show the world how to do right. We literally bring salvation to the world because we have to show the world. They don't know. Anybody who's not following Yahweh don't know how to do right. Anybody who's not following Yahweh, in his word, he say, don't cheat. What do you see out in the world? In his word, he say, don't murder. What do you see out in the world? Don't follow other gods. What do you see out in the world? What is the world lacking? It's lacking salvation. It's going to be destroyed because it's wicked. But the righteous, or the people who have the power to be right, won't be destroyed. We're not going to perish with the wicked. That's why we have to show the world. That's why we're the spectacle. That's why we're even a spectacle onto the angels. Because it was some angels that did wrong.
there was some angels who was in the abode in the presence of the Most High on a constant basis, and they still did wrong.
Man.
They knew to do right, and they still did wrong.
Man.
So he says, I'm making a new creation, and they're going to show you how to do right. I'm going to give them my ways. I'm going to give them my statutes. I'm going to give them my judgments. And when they mess up, if they try and just mess up and they ask for forgiveness, I'm going to forgive them, and they're going to be right.
Man.
So the angels are like, look, man, y'all was in the holy abode, and especially that one, that particular one, where he was talking about pride last night. This one was puffed up and got lifted up and said, I, me, what I'm going to do, what I want, and this, that, and another. And he caused the fall of a third of them.
Amen.
And on top of that, Hasatan plays on that.
Amen.
He wants you, that you are Israel. Something else he brought out last night. I'm going to bring you to the place of the Canaanite. Humility. I'm going to bring you there. Just because you have the power to be right don't mean your power got to be on display all the time and ain't for you to flaunt, hence taking the bucket and throwing it out there for a magic trick.
Amen.
Where you're feeding people. Do you really want to feed people? Because there's plenty of hungry out here.
Amen.
There's plenty of hungry out here. Don't do it just to put on YouTube, or I went out here and I put this woman, she homeless, I'm going to put her up in the hotel, I got $10,000 in my pocket, I'm going to put her up in the hotel, this, that, and that, give me 1,000 likes. Don't do it for that reason.
Because
that was your glory.
Amen.
That was your payment. You got exactly what you wanted. Because there's still people after that. What about dude under the bridge right now that didn't get no fish?
Amen.
Because the camera's not on. You know, what about him?
Amen.
So that's what he wants. Now, back to, you were going to say something, Zakin? Okay. Back to the story why Esau and Jacob were so important. How do we become and show people how to be upright? Well, like you said, Esau is our twin. Esau and Jacob fought, literally. When they was in the womb, they were fighting.
Man.
Right? So, not only do we wrestle with outside things, but we wrestle with ourselves. Why do you think the brother, and that's why I say, Yahweh inspires people to do things. He's going through the Spirit. It wasn't until I heard it that Yahweh gave me my lesson. And he showed me why it was so important that Esau was afraid of Jacob. Aren't you afraid of you sometimes? Don't you get afraid of you, this new you? Because when I got to thinking about it, I was like, man, Hurley is a monster, and I don't want to show the world Hurley. And I literally started to cry because all the things Hurley did and all this wrong Hurley did, Daywell was making up for, and he has, and it's a wall. Daywell has to make up for all these things Hurley did. And you don't want to go back to Hurley. But Hurley, you're afraid of it sometimes. Sometimes you get afraid of the things that, because you know what Hurley capable of,
man.
But you don't really know what Daywell's capable of because
man.
You ain't lived that long with Daywell.
Man.
You done mastered Hurley. You have to master Daywell. You know?
Man.
Sometimes, what's the name? Jadakiss made this song called Man in the Mirror. And he's talking about that's the only thing he said because he knows what he's been through and he knows what he's capable of.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And you do too.
Amen.
But guess what? That's the one you got to fight.
Right.
That's the one that you have to fight.
Hallelujah.
That's the one that he's given you the power to be upright.
That's
to
right.
Show day well you can be. I mean, so early you can be upright.
That's right.
You have to be upright. You want to be saved? Be upright. That's all. You have to fight. You have to change.
Mm-hmm.
You can't duck and run.
You can't. You have to face you. Because as you keep on reading, the next four verses, Esau rolls up on Jacob. Right? And he says, eventually they embrace. That's another thing you got to do. Embrace who you are.
Amen.
Embrace the fact that you done screwed up in the past. Mm-hmm. Embrace the fact. How else you going to get over it?
Right.
How else are you going to sit up here and say, I was this, but now I'm this?
Amen.
How else do you get what the brother was talking about? The experience.
Amen.
The experience. How else do you fight a war? Why do you go through all this training? Why do you go through all this stuff? It's preparation. You know, that's your experience. That's how you fight. This is. If you want to be righteous with Yahweh, you have to practice the things that he say, right? You want to be in right standing because it's a lot more than just believing. So the words say that Abraham believed Yahweh and was counted to him as righteousness. He believed him, but he found out by the works that he did.
That's right.
It wasn't just, okay, Yahweh, you promised me, and forgive me because, I mean, it's not that many kids in here, but what he said was, I'm promising you a son. You're going to have a son at an appointed time. And Abraham believed Yahweh, and it was counted to him as righteousness. That means him and Sarah was having sex.
Amen.
Because that's how you bring forth a son.
Amen.
And he had to have sex with this woman for 25 years before a son came.
Amen.
And he was an old man.
Amen.
He didn't stop because he wanted a son. So it was his work. You wanted to prove Yahweh going, he said he's going to give me a son. So that means it's not going to happen through osmosis. You know, it ain't going to happen just because I'm going, a son coming. No,
Amen.
You got to put the work in.
True.
And I'm not trying to be vulgar or anything
right.
like that,
Amen.
But that's the truth of the matter.
Amen.
You know, you want a son, Abraham, go do what it takes to make a son.
Amen.
And prove my word.
Amen.
That's the truth. Go ahead. Two camps. Mm-hmm. On both, they got an open man and a closed man. Jacob, when he was afraid, split. Esau coming, split the camps up. One going to survive, he might kill the other one. It's a split, but it's all representative of you. Look how your mind splits when you go through situations. Look at the distractions that come, and it's distracting you from Yahweh. Your mind is split. Like I said, it was a good week, but my mind was distracted. My mind was split. Because I was, what Paul say? The thing I wanted to do, I didn't do. The thing I didn't want to do, that's what I did. So my mind is here, there, and everywhere. I'm not doing, my mind is shifting.
Mm-hmm.
It's going back and forth. It's going back and forth. But it happens.
Amen.
So then, told Abba by Abba, and like I said, this is how I know this is our time. He set this time apart. For man specifically, just to get with him. It's not a coincidence to me that when this time comes, the battle gets a little bit easier for me.
Yeah.
My mind is a little bit more focused My mind is you know, like I said, I could have been fighting the whole week. I couldn't have been saying, Satan, I ain't going to do it. I'm going to do this. But when Shabbat came, it became a little bit more easier because this time right here is set apart for us,
amen.
Father and son,
amen.
Daughter, father.
Amen.
It's our time. So he like, don't let nothing interfere with this time. Nothing. I don't care what it is. Don't let nothing distract from this time that he set apart before he, right after he made man. The very first day of Adam's life was Shabbat. We forget that. Adam made on 6th day, Shabbat came in. That was the first day of his life. Was spending time with the Most High, with the Father.
Hallelujah.
You know? So, that's our purpose, Yisrael. We got to show the world how to be saved. We got to show the world how to be upright. Why? He gave us those laws, those statutes, those judgments. He already hallowed us before he gave us those laws, those statutes, and those judgments.
Mm-hmm.
We are his firstborn. So we was hallowed on that day.
That's right.
Then he gave us those laws, those statutes, those judgments to hallow us even more.
Yes.
So we're not your average. We can't be. We got a particular task for us. Our purpose, our destiny is different, if you want to use those type words. All right? Any questions or comments? Did everybody understand? Kanaya, did you understand? You can hear? What did I say then? You can tell me later. All right. Brother Eliezer, would you mind closing us out? Y'all sure y'all ain't got no questions or comments now, right? All right.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yeah.
No, 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 no,